ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Protests in Israel following the deaths of six more hostages held by Hamas. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Jerusalem.
The funeral for 23-year-old Israeli-American hostage Hersh Goldberg Poland is set to begin this morning here in Jerusalem. We are right along the procession route. And news of his murder and that of five other hostages sparked deep sorrow and anger across Israel. And it was on full display last night.
That's what it sounded like when thousands took to the streets. Today, a general strike was called. An Israeli court, however, has ordered those workers back to the job, the order, however, being largely ignored this morning. Ukraine's air defenses have launched an overnight barrage of drones and cruise missiles at Kyiv, in Ukraine's second-largest city of Kharkiv. Three people were hit and wounded when two kindergartners were struck by the Russians. If you have DirecTV and you don't have ESPN, ABC, and Disney this morning, it's because DirecTV and Disney, parent company of ABC News, couldn't reach a carriage agreement. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic candidate for Vice President Tim Walz campaigns in Milwaukee today. Senator Elizabeth Warren spent last week campaigning for the Harris-Walz ticket in Wisconsin. She says Kamala Harris would reintroduce the immigration bill that died in the Senate.
We need more security at the border. We need more help for the states that are actually supporting migrants. We need faster work permits so that migrants who are here and want to work would be able to work, and the people who want to hire them could legally do that.
Warren on WYSN-TV's Upfront yesterday. Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. The Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. This is Civic Media News.
Good day. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thied. Wisconsin Electric Cooperative Association President and CEO Steve Fries has lost his battle with cancer. Fries died at his home in Hazel Green Wednesday morning. He was 64. Fries grew up in Hazel Green and earned a degree in political science from UW-Platteville. He served on the Jamestown Board and Grant County Board of Directors before he was elected to serve in the Wisconsin State Assembly, where he represented the 51st District from 1991 until 2007. In 2007, Fries was selected to serve as Executive Director of Circus World Museum in Baraboo. He also served as Chief Administrative Officer of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation before joining Cooperative Network in 2015 as Vice President. Funeral services are being planned for September 6th through the 7th. And that's what you need to know.
The Brewers' winning streak is over. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single. Still, the Brewers took 3 of 4 games to the Reds and stand 9 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. Now, Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals on Monday afternoon in a 3-game series. The NFL season kicks off this week. The Green Bay Packers play the Philadelphia Eagles Friday night in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue, as both teams have new defensive coordinators and running backs for this season. Wisconsin Badgers trailed early in the fourth quarter, but got two late touchdowns to give the Badgers a 28-14 win over Western Michigan on Friday. Now the Badgers take on FCS foe South Dakota this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium with a 2:30 kickoff. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games around the state right here on Civic Media. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a pre-recorded, man.
Happy Labor Day. You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl talks with Pierre Hollis from the Patriotic Millionaires about how unions strengthen the middle class.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. You almost said Calvin there.
Well, what do you expect from a 70-year-old guy?
I get it. You caught it.
Well, it's good to have you on board, man. We're going to be hanging out for a couple of days.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun the next couple of days. Cal's earned a couple of days off, so I'm thrilled I get to join you on the airwaves.
Hey, man, a well-earned vacation for Cal, and you and I will reminisce.
Yeah. This it takes me back when I was first just learning some of what these buttons meant, Earl.
Yeah.
You were one of the first shows I got to produce, so it's always fun catching
man,
up.
Man, it really is. It's good to see you. It is Monday, and that means Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. But it's also a time that I get a chance to reconnect with Mr. Pierre Hollis. He is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here. Good morning to you as well.
It's always great to have this dialogue with you, man. I feel so honored. Let's talk a little bit about unions, something that I am so familiar with. It's my life story. And as a very young man, 18 years old, I left high school. I was scheduled to go to a university. I'm from a family of 13. And I said I was going to, you know, go to the University of Stout. And so I remember that summer I said I'm going to go and follow my dad into the auto industry where he retired from. And, you know, back in those days, my mom could stay home. And my father had one job and raised 13 children. And mom got to stay home. Uneducated, but we got to live a middle-class lifestyle. So I said, I'm going to go, you know, take this job for the summer. And my dad said, don't come out here. And he couldn't explain to me why. It was because I was making more money than I ever made in my life at 18 years old. It seemed to be a lot of money. And 34 years later, I was able to, you know, retire and take advantage of a pension that I still receive, be able to live the American dream. That rarely exists anymore, Pierre.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It really doesn't, you know, We talked about this just a couple of minutes ago, but I was a member of a union. I was a member of UAW.
United Auto Workers.
United Auto Workers, 148 out of Long Beach, California. And, unions exist to protect the workers, right? That they do. And you know, we the unions have gotten a little bit of, you know, some bad press over the years, and some of it was justified and some of it wasn't. But the bottom line is unions exist to protect the workers, right? That's why they exist. And if somebody is trying to talk you out of a union, if somebody is trying to discourage you from being in your union, you might want to ask yourself, why is that? Why are they trying to talk me out of this? And the reason they're trying to talk you out of it is because, you know, one person staying in alone doesn't have much say in anything. But a whole bunch of people staying in together, you know, that's an entirely different story. And that's what we're talking about with unions.
Yeah, New York has right now the highest share of union workers in the nation. And 71% of government workers in New York belong to unions. Government workers, 71%. Yeah. While, you know, 36% of government employees nationwide are in unions. Just to show you the contrast in New York and nationwide. And then only 7% of workers are in private sector unions, i.e. UAW and those types of things. When you and I were young, or when I was a young man, the private sector was unionized to the tune of over 40%. And so that's why people got to live a middle-class lifestyle, even without college diplomas or high school degrees. I mean, no degrees. People could barely read or write, but they were still able to live middle-class lifestyles. Clearly, industry was here, and we were king in industry globally. And so, you know, that was it. But they demonized unions.
Yep, they sure did.
They destroyed unions, except for, you know, government unions, police, fire. They've got people to buy into. Well, that's okay. Those unions are good. Every other union is bad, but police and fire.
Yeah, it's outrageous, right? You know, and again, you know, it's just, you know, people in power trying to tell you how to live your life. People in power trying to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And like we said before, if somebody's trying to talk you out of joining a union, you might want to ask, why is that? You know, why is that? And it's probably because, you know, they're trying to preserve the wealth for the wealthy. It's not because they're looking out for you, right? They're absolutely not looking out for you.
You know, again, Pierre, there was a time when the wealthy in this nation, in my lifetime, wasn't as greedy as they are now. The wealthy the past history of this nation had some civic belief that we are part of the community. We have an engagement with, we're not just in the city or in this town or in the state. We have some civic duty. We want to pay our taxes. We want to offer a job that certainly offers people benefits to take care of their family. All those things once existed, Pierre. I remember when they changed.
Yeah, I do as well. You know, and it's just, I mean, it seems crazy to me. And I guess, you know, the younger folk don't recall,
right? They don't know
what it used to be like. They don't recall what it used to be like. All I know is what they hear on the 24/7 news cycle, which is garbage, by the way. But you know, there was a time when companies were invested in the future. I mean, they really were. You know, and they weren't anti-union. They weren't union busted. Companies were invested in the future, and I don't think that's where we are right now, you know. And it bothers me because it seems to me that companies today are, you know, just interested in short time profit. You know, got to get some money to the shareholder and screw everybody else. I mean, that's what it feels like to me today. That was not always the case.
Well, you know, Pierre, you just hit the nail on the head, because I remember when the founding, the patriarchs of these major corporations, Fortune 500 companies, and the board of directors were family members. And the president was, and the CEO, those were the founding family members of the corporations. And then I saw that change. And those at that point in the history of this nation, there was long-term profitability. The company that I worked for, they looked at it long-term. Are we going to make a profit long-term? And then I saw this short-term reality that came in and kind of set up our nation for this divide that we're dealing with now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on the mark there, because there was a time when people cared about the future, right?
Right.
Not next month, not next year. They cared about the future. And we are well beyond that right now in terms of, corporations here in the United States. They don't care about the future at all. They care about the next performance
quarter,
cycle.
Next quarter, they care right. about,
yeah. And it's very short-sighted. And, the thing that really bothers me, one of the things that bother me is that when you and I, as individuals, plan our budget, plan how we're going to manage our household affairs, right? We're not worried about, hopefully we're not worried about what happens next week. We're planning for the future. And that we don't see that anymore today in corporate culture. And corporate culture doesn't want to hear from ordinary folks who are trying to make a living. They don't want to hear about it, and that's why so many of them engage in union busting and all these other nefarious activities.
Pierre, what used to also happen was the fact that unions, who was it? Rising tides lift all boats. I forgot who said. I don't know if it was Ronald Reagan, whoever it was. But that was the case with unions. The unions and the union wage lifted the wages of people who were not in unions.
Absolutely.
That history is lost in this nation, and so. Today, they vilified unions and people who aren't in unions. And I remember when they started breaking the unions, it was for lazy people. And the unions, if you're a good guy and you work hard, what do you need the union for? Yeah. And they were able to confound people. Yeah. And we are where we are now. Hold the thought, Pierre. It is so good to talk to you. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Pierre Hollis. He is with the Patriotic Millionaires. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and my good friend Luke is at the helm. 844-967-2789. You can join us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. A holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the Labor Day edition of the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. This is an interview with former Obama Chief of Staff Bill Daley that happened at the DNC. They talk about his experience working for President Obama and how Vice President Kamala Harris's vision aligns with what his administration accomplished.
I am honored and privileged to have the former Mr. William Daley. You were the Chief of Staff amongst many other hats that you wore in the Barack Obama campaign in 2011. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it was a great, great honor to be Chief of Staff to President Obama. He's a great guy. It was, as most years in the White House, it's a tough job, tough year in 2011. We had a whole bunch of issues. Obviously, the highlight of the year seemed to be the taking down Osama bin Laden, which was a great honor, and only the U.S. military could have done that. And the direction of President Obama was amazing to watch his leadership during that. So it was great. It was he's a great guy, and we'll listen to him tonight and hear him lay the case out for Vice President Harris.
So I remember distinctly before President Obama got into office, Dow Jones was floating around 6,700 under then President George Bush Jr., and we seemed to be headed for depression.
We were losing 750,000 jobs a month. That's the size of Charlotte, North Carolina. Every month he became president.
Somehow people forget what was taking place at that point in time.
The biggest economic crisis since the Great Depression, 1929. And he handled it cool, calm, had the right talent, patient. It was difficult, no doubt about it. The 2009, 2010 were very difficult years. Economically, but he went through that and the economy came back starting in the end of 10 to 11, 12, and he built on it all through his administration. By the time his successor came in, the economy was humming, was strong, and just kept growing, and has grown even more since President Biden.
So very few people give him credit. I often on my show have to correct people who talk about how great it was that Donald Trump has turned the economy around, and I said, do you fail to understand when Barack Obama came into office, the Dow was at 6,700. When he left, it was at 18,000. One of the greatest turnarounds. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And as I say, the unemployment level, I think we're at 10-11%. Okay? And as I said, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month. And the president stayed cool, calm, had the right team, believed in his policies, albeit very difficult. He didn't do anything crazy. And his successor, as often happens, benefits by tough decisions made earlier on that maybe that president doesn't seem to see the success of it, but it's all about building and coming back, and that happened, and President Trump was the beneficiary of that.
So what did you see in this man, Barack Obama, very young man at the time that, I didn't know much about Barack Obama as a middle-aged guy myself, and I heard about Barack Obama. I knew a little bit about him and his time in Chicago, but I never could have imagined that this man could have wound up becoming the president of the United States.
Very few people could have imagined it, to be very frank with you. Obviously, the speech in 2004 at the Democratic Convention as the keynoter set him apart as an orator and someone who just exuded confidence and a difference, obviously, from his name to his race to his history. He was different than most politicians we had ever seen. His career in Chicago was rather short.
Right.
But there was always a sense about him that he was destined for something much different and greater, whether it was going to be in politics, which is what he did, or had he gone into business, I think most people think he would have been extremely successful.
But myself being a black man, and not thinking that there was any way possible that this was going to take place, even with his oratory skills. There was nothing that pointed out that America at that point in time was willing and ready to take that leap of faith. The business community especially bought into him. They saw something in him that that made them support him. What was that?
I think it was a bit of, first of all, boy, this guy's got a lot of nerve trying to pull off what nobody else tried to pull.
Right.
And let's be honest with you. He ran against, when he ran against Hillary Clinton in the primaries, she was as close to an incumbent president of a party and had all of the backing of the establishment. And here's this guy with this so-called funny name from Hawaii, and he thinks he's going to beat Hillary Clinton. I had people say to me a year or two before, oh, you're crazy. I said, I'm just telling you, you better watch this guy, because he's got an enormous amount of talent, and he has a sense that, and when you think about running for president, you have to pick the time. The time picks you, pardon me, the time picks you. You can't wait for, okay, now's my perfect time. A lot of people, I think, were telling Barack Obama, wait, stay in the Senate longer. You just got there. He found that boring, to be frank with you, because they don't do anything. And he made the judgment, nope, I got to go for the gold. Big risk, but he got the reward.
Here's a man, and I don't want to spend, you know, all of it because it's not his time. But what he's done is he hasn't pushed his way into things. He's retired.
Right.
He's lived his life away from politics, and he's only engaged in politics when somebody calls him in. That's not always an easy thing to do, is be sitting on top of the world and then finally relax and settle down. But he's been able to accomplish that. Why?
I think his nature is he doesn't need the adulation all the time. Look at, everybody loves adulation.
Right.
Let's be honest. We all like to be loved.
Yeah, we're here, right?
Right, we're here. A good point. But he also knows his time was, not now. And he's willing to keep encouraging. And when you look at what he's doing with the Obama Center here in Chicago, and it's more about getting young people engaged in trying to solve problems, not just necessarily politics, but activism around issues that are important to the country. And that says a lot about him.
So he's going to come in tonight, and he's going to basically give his blessings to Kamala Harris. It's not a bad idea to be able to have a relationship with a person like Barack Obama as you attempt to become the president of the United States. Certainly, I know they're going to have a great relationship. Is it safe to say that?
Oh,
if they don't already have it.
I don't think there's any question. And she should look to him as someone who pulled off the ultimate sort of challenge to beat basically a sitting incumbent with Hillary Clinton in a long, drawn-out primary and then run against a war hero. You know, even though it was in some people's mind, an easy election, no election's easy. I think he's not only going to obviously endorse her and strongly support her, but he's going to lay out the case for America as to what a presidency of Kamala Harris will mean for us in this journey we're all on of America in change and bettering ourselves.
Well, he's an old man now. He's 60, right?
Well, if he's old, I'm natured.
So I'm saying that tongue in cheek.
I know.
So as he, God willing, his health stays well, he's going to be on the scene for a couple more decades.
Oh, easy.
And he's going to have major influence on the future of this nation.
Absolutely.
That many presidents haven't had the opportunity.
Right.
What, 3 decades?
Right.
Three, four decades that
Easy.
He may be able to
Easy.
Have. Right.
Yeah. And I think he balances getting involved and then pulling back and letting the next generation. And my guess is that if Vice President Harris wins, he'll be, call me if you need me, but I'm not going to bug you. That will be
his
style.
That's who he is.
Yes, that's who he is. And I think that's... And he understands she has to chart her own course.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're a very busy man.
Yep.
I want to thank you very much for
Thanks,
taking
Earl.
The time out with us.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Police have arrested a man in the shooting death of a champion gymnast at UW-Whitewater. Kara Welsh was 21. Welsh was shot and killed near campus Friday night. Claims about Kamala Harris's favorability do not hold up. Here's Trisha Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
Representative Derek Van Orden's claim from July 29th that Harris was the most unpopular vice president since polling began is not supported by historical data. At their peak, Republican vice presidents Dan Quayle and Dick Cheney had higher unfavorability ratings. Quayle's peaked at 63% and Cheney's at 61% compared to Harris' 58% in September 2023. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch.
This is Civic Media News.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that northern Wisconsin's wild rice crop production is generally below average this year across lakes, flowages, and rivers. Brandon Byrne, wild rice biologist with the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, said a mild winter in 2023-2024, coupled with heavy storms in mid-June, appears to have set back in wild rice production this year throughout much of the northern region of the state. However, most of the lakes that have been reliable for harvesting in recent years should still provide adequate harvest opportunities this year. Wild rice harvesting is open to all Wisconsin residents and provides the opportunity to forage a highly nutritious natural food source that is unique to the upper Midwest. Wild rice maturity typically ranges from late August through mid-September across the state and varies by water body and rice bed. The DNR stresses the importance of waiting to harvest wild rice until it falls with relatively gentle strokes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. America has been wondering why Pamela Anderson took a powder when it came to appearing in the four-episode docuseries After Baywatch. Well, not all of America, but some of America. Okay, a few people. Despite being prominently featured in one of the episodes that actually credits her with making the show a success thanks to her infamous sex tape with her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, she said no thanks. Anderson says when the sex tape came out, she was mortified and to this day still has not watched it. The studio reportedly was going to fire Anderson to protect the show until it actually made ratings skyrocket. It's called show business, folks. After Baywatch is currently available to stream on Hulu. Someone is using the image and likeness of Hollywood icon Tom Hanks to sell wonder drugs and cure-alls on the internet. Hanks appeared in a public service announcement to let people know that it is AI and he would never try to sell people something that was fraudulent, except for the man with one red shoe.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl discusses Republican hypocrisy about unions. Happy Labor Day. Now if you feel-
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means a Motown Monday. You know, before we, you know, took this short hiatus, we were talking about unions. And I maintain that part of the, you know, the suffering that's happening in this nation to the middle class is part and parcel because of the destruction of unions that was organized and orchestrated. And even to this day, there are people who are anti-union. And I've never been able to understand why the average person would be so opposed to unions, except for, again, police and fire unions. You won't ever hear people complaining. You hear them complaining about teachers' unions. You hear them complaining about other unions that exist, you know, in the private sector. They've all but destroyed all unions in the private sector. Those were the jobs and the protections that gave us the strong middle class in this nation. I'm going to talk about some statistics as we move on with the show. And, you know, you can't help but point out that this was planned. It was planned and orchestrated by greedy people who could care less about the American people. And some of those people still exist. 844-967-2789 is the number. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Don. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. You got a nice topic today. I'm a union man myself. There were two Democratic presidents that helped destroy the middle class. They passed 1980, I believe Jimmy Carter was the president, and he signed the Motor Truck Act. Well, that deregulated the trucking industry. Thousands of trucking companies went out of business. Thousands of people that held jobs, good paying jobs, were gone. Then came Bill Clinton, and he signed the NAFTA Act. Well, now the unions were after him not to sign that.
North American Free Trade Agreement.
All the good jobs were gone. So those two presidents played a big part, and they're Democrats. They're supposed to be on our side.
And so Don,
they sure stabbed us in the back.
Well, Don, let me say this to you. Even though Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, the truth be told, they were bipartisan agreements.
Yeah, they're no good.
Yeah, I'm saying it. Yeah, they were. Look, I was a guy who worked.
Bipartisan never works out for the common guy.
No. My point is, I was a guy who worked in the auto industry for all those years. Okay. I watched all those jobs go away. And so, you know, it was a kind of like an avalanche. Once the auto industry, those jobs were lost, then all the other connecting.
But the unions were opposed to both of those acts. Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton just ignored them. But they took our union money for when they needed the campaign, though. Good enough to take our money.
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. The North American Free Trade Agreement was a bipartisan agreement that took those jobs out of this country and move them initially. What it did initially was move the jobs from the North to the non-unionized jobs in the South. The industry moved to the South that was never big on unions anyway. And then once they did that, North American Free Trade Agreement opened it up globally. And those companies didn't stay in the South very long. They went initially to Mexico. And that's what the North American Free Trade Agreement was. And then they didn't stay in Mexico long. They found it was even cheaper in China. And so those corporations were allowed to take those jobs and move to China, the middle-class jobs that made America what it was. And the last thing before I go back to the phone lines. And the problem with all of those things were the fact that that could not have happened without the corporations. They didn't do it on their own. The politricksters, both Democrat and Republicans, signed that into law and made it happen. It didn't happen before that, but they certainly signed it into law and made it happen bipartisan. And I'm going to read this from Tony, and then we'll move on. I remember lines being shut down at Whirlpool because people stopped buying new washing machines. Vicious cycle. He's absolutely correct. It spread like cancer. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning, Chief. Al, how you doing, man?
Good morning. Whoever that man is you were talking to, I'm talking about when you...
Pierre, the guy. He's
copy that and play it every hour because of what he said. Most people don't pay attention that the majority of this population has been brainwashed by the media who are paid by the millionaires and billionaires to spend all, I mean, they pass on all this garbage to the point where people believe what they hear in the media rather than sitting down and talking with each other about reality. But what he said about the media was totally true, and that needs to be repeated constantly until people understand the media has been bought. And the billionaires and millionaires who broke up the unions and everything else, they are behind all of this, and they're the reason that we are in such bad situations right now. I'm a union man from yesteryear in the auto industry and in the steelworkers union, and that was the best time of our industrial life.
Yes. You know, Al, you are from a time and a city that was called the Motor City. If you just took Michigan alone, and Flint, Michigan was where they made all of the engines. Detroit itself was on the map as one of the most wealthy and middle-class cities in the entire nation. When Ford General...
Let me say this. Detroit was the number one automobile manufacturing
in the world.
City in the world.
Right, I know.
Flint, Michigan was number two. Pontiac, Michigan was number three. Lansing, Michigan was number four. General Motors started in Flint, Michigan. And Buick, Chevrolet, Oldsmobile, all of those places, all of those companies started in Flint, Michigan with the Charles Stewart Mott. And the point is, the auto industry spread to Japan and beyond, but the point is, the union busting was the killer of all.
Absolutely.
In Union 599, Walter Reuther was a member of the union that I was in. He became the president of the auto workers union nationwide. I worked side by side with Walter on the assembly line. But, you know, it's a matter of all of this is about the garbage that's fed to the public by the media, and the media has been bought out. by the multimillionaire and billionaire.
Hey, Al, it's absolutely true. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Tom, it was George Bush, Ronald Reagan, that developed NAFTA. Trump's USMCA trade bill is the same as NAFTA's for workers. Yes, Jimmy Carter and Clinton signed those bills, but let's get the facts straight. I am sick of Dems bashing on this station. Let me clearly just state that the fact that these unions were destroyed, busted and destroyed, and people said the corporations could no longer afford, and the union people got greedy. And that's why the companies wound up moving. Well, you know, police and fire constantly get raises. Nobody ever says that they're being greedy. And so they continue to get raises, and that's okay. But, you know, that's the way people see it. Those are the kinds of people who deserve their pay raises and cost of living, but the average American does not. And so because of that fight, and I remember that fight, and people basically saying that we were too greedy. We wanted a cost of living, but at the time, the auto industry, as Al said, if you looked at the Fortune 500 companies, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler were right at the top. That's where, you know, the real wealth was. And so when I started hearing, you know, the pushback from the corporations, and that didn't happen until the matriarchs, the founding families of those corporations who were once the chairman of the boards, who were concerned, even the company that I worked at for 34 years called A.O. Smith, the chairman of the board was always one of the family members, and so they were concerned about the community. They were concerned about their place in the community. Their company was inside of a community. Briggs & Stratton, Allen Bradley, Alex Chalmers, you name them, those were all Fortune 500 companies that were inside of communities, and they paid their fair share. And once those patriarchs aged out and they brought in CEOs and CFOs, all of that community engagement and involvement went by the wayside, and it left us where we are now, people grasping to get an opportunity to live a lifestyle that should be available to all Americans in the wealthiest nation on earth. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Your thoughts.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Law enforcement across Wisconsin is speaking out in support of Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate. Listen to Sheriff Kurt Fell of Rock County.
Every day we battle illegal drugs coming into our community, and we know the attacks on Tammy Baldwin are not true.
Sheriff Jeff Scatroot of Greene County.
Tammy's working with law enforcement to stop the flow of fentanyl.
And Sheriff Calvin Barrett of Dane County.
She brought Democrats and Republicans together to crack down on the drugs coming from China and Mexico, giving us more tools to fight drug smugglers.
It's Tammy Baldwin, who stood with the Border Patrol on border security. She supported the strongest border security bill in decades.
And Tammy voted 32 times to strengthen the border. She's fighting the flow of people and fentanyl coming across the border.
It's Tammy Baldwin I trust.
I trust.
I trust to help us keep Wisconsin safe.
I'm Tammy Baldwin running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're tuned in to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl and Sandy Williams discuss Vice President Kamala Harris's plan for the economy. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host. And Sandy, people are saying, hey, what did Sandy get into last night?
Yeah, incense. Can you smell the incense? No, that's Ravi Shankar, Indian. Yeah, I remember when the Beatles got totally taken in by Ravi Shankar, and they had a number of albums that featured a lot of him, actually.
Right.
He's an Indian performer, and like I said, Kamala is half Indian, half Jamaican, so I've got music spread out that way. I've got some coming from Minnesota too.
All right. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Friday to both of you.
You as well.
Thank you. Sandy, my question is addressed to you. I did listen to her speech last night, and overall, I would have to say that the Democratic Party had a very successful convention, if you compare it to the Republicans. And one point in her message that stood out to me was rebuilding the middle class. And over the last two decades, the middle class has taken it on the chin. What concerned me, because I am an independent, is that for her opportunity economy, how will she pay for the items she's proposing? I like what she's saying. I don't agree with all of her proposal items, but how will she pay for it? Because we are a country in debt. And in order for her to accomplish her economic objectives, someone will have to pay for it. So you have to take resources from one to give to rebuild the middle class. So if you heard her say how she would accomplish that, Sandy, I would love to hear from you. And thanks. You guys have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Cassandra.
Well, she didn't talk about it in that speech, but they have talked about it in prior speeches. They'll be moving to increase the corporate tax rate, move it back to something closer to what it was before the Trump reduction. I don't think they don't talk about moving it all the way up to what it was, but they talk about moving it up. They also talk about increasing taxes on the very rich, meaning that people who earn in excess of $400,000 a year will be potentially facing higher tax rates. So those will be some revenue sources. I suspect they'll also have to make some choices between expenditures as to how to make them. I'm not sure that the health costs necessarily will cost the federal government money by taking steps to reduce health costs, for instance, prescription drug reduction in cost. But extending the Affordable Care Act to more people might require additional subsidies. And then the child daycare, the credit or some other form of support for child daycare will cost money. Those are investments, however, and they will be replacing money that private citizens would otherwise be paying themselves for daycare. So they're going to try and, you know, shift the burdens to some extent away from those who are striving to get into the middle class but face those kinds of expenditure roadblocks to actually making it. So, you know, I agree. I mean, I'm a centrist, and I'm also a fiscal reality person. And there needs to be a fiscal reality here. But like I've said before, we have to pay more attention to the revenue side than we do now, because we talk about tax reductions because it's terribly seductive from at the polls. The reality of the tax reduction being talked about on the Republican side is that it's going to be, you know, if you have to earn a lot of money for a tax reduction to be worth a lot to you. And so, you know, there'll be a middle class tax reduction of some sort. And then, however, these other expenditures will need to get supported. There's plenty of money to be obtained in revenue by taxing the very rich. And it don't have to be taxed out of their very rich existence in order to provide some of the additional support required.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. Joyful Democracy Warrior here, not Project 2025 Authoritarian Dictator, checking in. Sandy, I don't know if they've been hearing you or what. I definitely know the Republicans haven't heard you at all, because we talked months, maybe a year ago, about child care, health care, taxes, rent or mortgage, and how each of those indices cost $16,000 a year. And it sounds to me like the Democratic Party has a policy to actually take that burden off the average, everyday working American. And I couldn't be more proud. And for people that want to bring up border issues and all that, you know what? There's a bunch of fentanyl that got caught at the border, and it would have been stopped completely if Donald Trump wouldn't have killed the border deal. So, and also, you guys in Wisconsin, I don't know why you're as concerned about the border. You might want to be concerned about Canada more so than, you know, down in Mexico and that area. And Sandy, one other thing, I said this to Earl yesterday. Since 1989, Bill Clinton said, and he checked it and rechecked it and rechecked it again, 49 out of 50 million jobs that have been created, 49 million jobs have been created by Democrats. 1 million jobs have been created by Republicans. And also, I love the fact when Bill Clinton said, don't count the number of lies Donald Trump says. Count the number of times he says I. Very, very beautifully said.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I think, Sandy, the number is 50 million.
51 and 50.
But, yeah.
But, you know,
which is astounding.
Yeah, and that's the net number. And, of course, there was the negative bounce that Trump had because of COVID. But, you know, what's interesting is you can take out and adjust for all that COVID effect, and the numbers are still overwhelmingly favorable to the Democratic administrations.
Yeah, that is astounding, actually.
Yeah,
and speaks volumes.
One thing I think we don't have to be defensive about is the border policies. I think Kamala was very clear what her border policy is, and it's pretty strident, actually.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.